Oh, we always look forward to our chat with Mr. Mike Clemens, our 98Q reporter, who's out and about covering all the Wisconsin sports teams. Good morning to you there, Mr. Clemens.
How are you today?
Well, I was kind of making fun of you a little bit earlier. I said Mike Clemens let me know that I'll be reaching him at his studio office inside of the media center at Lambeau Field. I was like, ooh, that sounds impressive, Mike. I like that. It's nice.
I know. Well, it's kind of a mess. I probably should pick it up before the tours start coming through today.
Exactly.
So anyway, yeah, you know, and I kind of, you get to the feeling like, you know, well, this is what it's like to be an animal in the zoo. Right? They come by, they point, they look, they wave through the glass and whatnot.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Before we get to the Packers, let's talk a little bit about Brewers. Not an earth-shattering day for the Brewers, but a couple little moves for them, right?
Yeah, you know something, though? It's like people thought, oh, wow, they got a bat. They made a move just before the deadline. And as I'm kind of going through it this morning, Joel, you know what? They just did some roster maintenance, you know? I mean, Nestor Cortez is the 30-year-old that they picked up in the trade with the Yankees, and he'd had a kind of a history of some injuries. A lefty. But, you know, it's like just a week or so into the season, he strains his elbow, his left elbow, and his throwing arm, and he's been on the 60-day IL, and he's about to come back. So, you know, they ship him off to the Padres, and they pick up an outfielder, Brandon Lockridge. He's 28 years old. And so, you know, one of the things in that deal is like, well, you know, Jackson Chourio's going to go on IL probably today because he's got a little bit of a hamstring. You had Sal Frelick with a hamstring a couple weeks ago. He's back out there in right field. But I think they just thought, hey, you know, we're good at pitcher. Let's move on. Let's get another, you know, outfielder for depth. They also had to send a 18-year-old shortstop, Jorge Quintana, no relation to Jose Quintana, their veteran pitcher that they've got, and some, you know, considerations. So I just think that it was basically, let's get Cortez off, let's pick up some depth there in the outfield. But, you know, you never know in some of these deals where you're going to get the diamond in the rough, because in that deal for Devin Williams, yeah, they got Nestor Cortez. They were excited about him being a veteran pitcher. But they also got Caleb Durbin. Well, that's like one of their hottest players right now, right?
Yeah.
Holding down third base, coming up with clutch hits, so that. They also made another trade later on where they picked up Shelby Miller. Now, he's got some experience, but he's on the IL right now with an injury, a wrist strain, forearm strain. And then a Jordan Montgomery. He's in his 30s. This is a deal they did with the Diamondbacks. Well, Jordan had Tommy John surgery, so he's not even going to play this year. So, again, it gets to near the deadline yesterday afternoon, just before 5 o'clock Central Time, and these teams are kind of, you know, cleaning their rosters and swapping things for a player to be named and cash considerations and all that.
Yeah, six teams. I was doing the math yesterday. Six teams in the National League between 60 and 64 wins. And with 50 games to go, this is going to be a fun run here to see who can. Winning the division is very valuable. You don't want to be in that wild card spot. You want to win that division.
Well, I imagine that this morning the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, has got to be kind of happy because he sees Major League Baseball in total parity. As a matter of fact, your Milwaukee Brewers, after beating those Cubs 2 out of 3 games this week at home in American Family Field, they have the best record in baseball right now. So not only are they ahead of Chicago by one game, they have the best record in baseball. They're 20 games above 500. Their winning percentage is .593, and that's the lowest ever heading into August in Major League Baseball history for first place in the leagues like that. So that just says parity right now going on in baseball.
Should be fun. Well, fun weekend, always fun. Family night at Lambeau Field, 80,000 people in the stadium, all half of them oogling at you and walking by your media center there. So what's the atmosphere like there for those of us who haven't been to family night at Lambeau?
It's the best, because I tell the story when I was walking through the hallway of the radio station and the production director said, hey, my son Jack, he's really excited. He wants to see a Packer game, and so I'm going to take him to, like, when they play the Seahawks. I go, well, wait a minute. I go, have you ever been to family night? No, he wants to see a real game. Okay. So, you know, young Jack there was like 7 years old at the time, And so he said, yeah, I got the tickets, man. They're over $200 each, but, you know, we're all excited. We're going to go. So they went to the game, and so when I got back after covering the game myself, saw him in the hallway, go, hey, so how was it with Jax? And he said, now we got to the third quarter, and he said, Daddy, can we go home? Man, it was a great game. How did you say, hey, you know, it was getting cold and all that, and it's like, see, family night is $10.
Yeah.
And you get to see all these Packers.
And it's warm.
You know,
it's
and
nice.
It's casual, yeah. And then after that, it's followed by fireworks. So you got a 7-year-old that is anxious to see Jordan Love and these guys play. Get in to see if you can see family night. And it might be sold out now. I know that the parking spaces, the assigned parking spaces, are already gone. But it's the best deal in sports in the state where you can see all the players. They'll have a practice tomorrow night, a scrimmage. And, you know, if you can't make it, it's on TV. But it's a great workout, and it's great. It's a great dress rehearsal, as the coaches call it, for, like, if you're, you know, Matthew Golden, first-round draft pick. This will be his first experience inside Lambeau Field with all those fans, and it'll be a game-like experience for him.
Very cool. Well, you were hinting to me in the email about a very unique situation with Matt LaFleur and left tackle Rasheed Walker. Tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Okay, so, you know, LaFleur is trying to get this to be a more physical team. If you remember how things went down against Philadelphia, you know, and how the Eagles were just taking shots left and right. I mean, they knocked Elgton Jenkins out of the game with kind of a cheap shot that was – it was before the whistle was blown, but it was, you know, kind of unnecessary. So he's trying to get them more physical, but at the same time, we don't want penalties, you know. And so practice has got to feel just like a game, and they hire these local referees. Rasheed Walker lines up at left tackle. He was a starting left tackle all last year. J.J. Nagbari is a guy who's come on at defensive end. So ball snap, Jordan Love's got it. He's dropping back. He's looking off to his right. He's about to throw it away. And Enigbari pops Rasheed Walker. I mean, hard. It was right in front of me in his shoulder pads. And then he's driving and grinding and driving and grinding. And then the whistle's blown. And when they finish, they disengage. They're kind of pushing each other like, dude, you know, that's too much.
Yeah.
You overdid it. And so somebody said something, and then somebody else said something. And then Walker, the offensive player, he says something that must be way over the line. And then Enigbari walks away from it. But an assistant coach comes up to Walker and says, 63, you're out. And so he's looking at him like, what? So he sends him to the sideline. Now LaFleur is trying to run this offense, and he's looking at him, where's my left tackle? So someone tells him what happened. And LaFleur comes running over right in front of all of us in the media and says, Sheed, that's his nickname. He goes, take a lap. Eddie, one of the assistants, make sure he takes a lap. And we're all looking at him like, man, this is the NFL, Matt. You know, that's what your peewee coaches do that. Maybe high school. Take a lap. So he starts trotting off, shaking his head like, man. And Josh Jacobs, the leader that he is, the running back they picked up from the Raiders, he goes, come on. And he gets Tucker Kraft and about a half dozen other offensive linemen that are standing there waiting for their turn on the sidelines. They all follow him. Six players follow him all the way down to the way down there to the north end of the field, come back about 4 minutes later from taking this lap. And we asked LaFleur about it the next day, and he said, look, that would have been a 15-yard penalty. A ref could have called that. You know, it's not only what you do after the whistle or the physicality that you have, but there's stuff where if you could trigger a fight, you could get, you know, 15-yard penalty, maybe ejected from a game. That's the way we practice.
Yeah,
he made his point.
Well, I think Packer fans be comforted because you need that type of leadership. Josh Jacobs, and now Jordan Love has really shown the ability to step forward and seem to be a leader and being more boisterous. That's a start, right? That's a good start for a good, solid winning team.
Yeah, and you know something? I stepped out last night with Wayne Larrivee, and we were talking about some of those things like, man, you know, LaFleur, he's like really hot under the collar. I said, you know something, Wayne? I think he wants Jordan Love to be that way. Because we all know that Aaron Rodgers used maybe went over the line, did that too much, you know, picking on receivers, et cetera. But, you know, Love is a nice guy.
Yeah.
But they need him to step up. They need him to call out receivers when they, you know, he needs to be that general on the field. And I think that's probably part of the thing that's going on here is LaFleur trying to nudge number 10 to to do some of this stuff as well.
Yeah. All right. One of our listeners texted me, said, Joel, when is Mike Lemons going to be available for autographs during family night? Do you have a time set for that?
Or... No, not.
All right. Very good. Mike, thank you so much. Appreciate you very much. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Have a good weekend, Joel. Thank you, pal.
Mike Lemons, look for it. Yeah, he does have a media office there, and you can see him in Oogalum. And I know a lot of people from the area like to go over for family night at Lambeau Field Saturday night. We'll archive, as we always do, our visit with Mike Lemons at 98qcountry.com.